Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
Who was here last week? Oh, that's impressive. Who can tell me what story we talked about last week? Ah, oh, rock solid here. Oh, that was a terrible throw. Quite disappointed myself. Who can remember the question we needed to ask ourselves out of last week? Oh, sorry. That is correct. Did anyone come up with an answer for that? So last week we talked about the story of the paralyzed man and the friends who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus. We posed the question, who are you carrying to Jesus? I had a couple of experiences throughout the week that really reminded me that obviously the end destination of doing life with people and that whole thought process is actually bringing people into a relationship with Christ, like to bring them to a place where they can encounter God. But not to doubt the small, sometimes very small steps that it took for those friends to take their friend to Jesus. So, you know, we've been neighbours with them for about 3 years, and we're quite close as a families. And in 3 years, he's never expressed anything other than disdain for God and for church, and he's cool with me going and doing it as long as I don't ever talk to him about it. On Tuesday or Wednesday, I had to drop something off to him, and he was the only one at home, and I just kind of got talking to him, and we just had probably, in the 3 years I've known him, the second significant conversation, and we're quite good friends and stuff, but proper, I don't know, you know, guys hear what I'm saying, like significant conversation about life and the way we think and our families and like a proper conversation. And in that conversation, I was talking about some challenges that I'm faced with at the moment, and he was saying, wow, how do you even work your way through that? And I was able to say, mate, call it blind optimism or call it faith, is I just really trust that God has it under control and that's how I sleep at night. And he went, oh, And then we just kept talking about other stuff. But that was the first time in 3 years that I've had anything other than a negative response to something about God. And I came away from that and Holly goes, where have you been for the last hour and a half? And I went, I was just talking to Lyle and told her, and she went, wow. And I went, wow, it's just those little steps that we have with people that can make a big difference to the end journey. So don't doubt the little steps that it takes to bring someone through. Then sometimes for people it's just this slow, consistent journey. We've been looking at prayer for the first half of this year, and that's been really good, just to be praying together more as a church, and the blokes have been getting together once a month and praying together, and that's been really, really good, and it's been a really good shift. And we've started to move into this idea of evangelism, so out of our relationship with God we then can help other people connect with God. And we had Nigel Dixon come and share with us. He's come a couple of times, and we'll hear from him again a few more times throughout the year. And he came and talked about the idea of community and of social space and different ways that people connect. So if you missed out on that, get on the website and grab that, because that was a really good message for us as a church. And so kind of coming out of that and moving forward into this idea of building real relationships with people and building an idea of community, I thought it was important that we kind of clarified what community actually is and what it should look like for us as a church. So if you're wondering what those letters are, they're clearly the alphabet, but they've got nothing to do with my message. They just happen to be written on the board, and I thought I would leave them up so that you guys spent the last 5 minutes looking at them wondering what in the world I was going to do with those letters. Now, Paul and I were trying to remember, if you've been going to church for quite a while, this question applies to you. If you're just new, don't even worry. So who back in the day heard someone speak on the alphabet of healing? Did anyone else hear a guy speak on, and it was like B. B is for the blood of Jesus. Can you remember that guy's name? Don Gossett. Nat, you get a chocolate. Yes. It's awesome. That's been bugging me since I saw the alphabet. All right. I need a volunteer to write, because since predictive text came along, I can't spell anything anymore. I wasn't that good to start with, and now it's just... Unfortunately, Lester, I've got no more chocolate left, but... Sorry, man. Are you just going to start writing stuff? Like, where are you going, man? I was just going to wait and see. Okay. So I want you guys to start throwing out just some words for me on, let's go with one word rather than big phrases, on what community should look like or how it should function, or, you know, some maybe describing words and some, you know, emotions and helping each other. It's technically not one word, but I'll allow it. Togetherness. Trust. Support. Teamwork. Can you hurry up? Man, give me the chocolate back. You're hopeless. Sorry, after teamwork, Lester got lost. Friendship. Kindness. Ah, oh, if I had any more chocolates, you'd get one. Can you highlight that and put... what else have we got, guys? So for you, when you think about, like, maybe the communities that you're involved in, not just this one, maybe it's people at your kid's school, maybe it's a sporting club, maybe it's a workplace. Commitment. Time. Gossip. More. Let's put that on the back, because we're going for positive thing. We're going for not what your community is. We're going for an ideal community, Rich. What else have we got, people? Belonging. Great. Service. Beautiful. Fun. Food. Food again. More food. Common interest, maybe. We all like food and coffee. Have we got anything else? Do you know what? I really knew it was risky getting you up here. Family. Great. Love. We got any here? Sharing. Inclusion. Patience. Assistance. Safety. Like it. Communication. Beautiful. Oh, hang on, we need to pause again. Oh. Can we come up with short words for Lester? Not this week. Have we got any other words of significance? Unconditional, I like it. Time, I think we've... Time's there. Vision, yeah, good. Nice. Yeah, good. Forgiving. Effort? Did someone say effort? That's a good one. I like that. Effort. We're just going to keep going until Lester gets hand cramp. Okay. Has anyone got any other burning emotion they'd like to share with this board before we... Encouragement? Yep. I'm going with selflessness. Yeah. Got common interest down there. Okay. So, out of this board, I don't know how we do this without even yelling it out, but we just have a look for a second, and then while I figure out the logistics of this, which two do you think are the most important when it comes to community? Keep it to yourself, people. Just keep it to yourself for a second. So keeping in mind, we all think it's food and coffee. I get that. But if we're talking about things that are not food and coffee, if we can move past the obvious, which are the two things that you think are most important? It's not. The most important thing isn't on there. Well, why didn't you say it, mate? Okay, which one's the... Faith? Yeah. That's on there. Okay. So, out of that, how many of those qualities do you think Compass Church has? Again, don't yell it out because I might not want to know the answer. But how many of those qualities do you think Compass Church has? How many of those qualities do you display? So out of those things, what are you personally doing to develop those? Which ones are you personally living out? Which ones are you personally showing to people? Because remembering, developing community for Compass is much more than just having a coffee with people after church. It goes much deeper than that. Community is not passive. It's not like a new car. It doesn't just arrive. It has to be developed. It's an active, kind of ever-evolving, growing organism that needs constant care and attention. So keeping that in mind, if you're not a particularly big fan of our community, it's as much your responsibility as mine. If you would like to see... Thank you, Lester. If you would like to see our community develop, it's as much your responsibility as it is our leadership team. If we're going to be part of a community, it's about being all involved. It's about all working at displaying. Now, some of these things you might be great at, some of them you might not. But it's about all participating and being involved. If we look up a really scientific definition of community, it's defined as organisms inhabiting a common environment and interacting with one another. Scott Peck writes, "Now, while this might be a scientifically accurate definition, it does not convey the richness, diversity, and complexity of human communities. Their classification, likewise, is almost never precise. Untidy as it may be at times, community is vital for humans. There can be no vulnerability without risk. There can be no community without vulnerability. There can be no peace and ultimately no life without community." So community is obviously really, really important. And a German sociologist, Ferdinand Tönnies, everyone's favourite German sociologist. I know I'm a big fan of his work from the early 1890s. And I've done a lot of research for this, people. But this guy came up with a theory that, and that he has two words that sound almost the same, which I can't, does anyone know German here? Okay, so when I mispronounce them, it doesn't matter. But he has these two words, and one is Gemeinschaft, and the other is Gesellschaft. And one of, Gemeinschaft means community, and Gesellschaft means society. And so he argues that there's a really big difference between a community and just a gathering of people. So it's not hard to form a gathering of people. They're just individuals who make up a group, and they're motivated largely to take part in that group through self-interest. So that's just a group of people. But a community, on the other hand, that people are there because he describes it as a unity of will. So everyone is there by choice to participate and be a part of something. Acts 2, you guys were all wondering when I was going to get to the Bible. We're here. Acts 2 says, reading from verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give it to anyone who they came in contact with who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of each other. And the Lord added to their numbers daily all those who were being saved. So that to me sounds like a pretty tight, cohesive entity. So I'm not saying that we should sell up everything we own, pull our resources and, maybe buy a giant property on the outskirts of suburbia and all move there. Or am I? Phil's not here. This is a coup. Bow, bow, bow. But what I am saying is these guys were learning the idea of community from the apostles. And the apostles were the guys who were in contact with Jesus all the time. So they're like kind of one removed almost from Jesus himself, who developed this great idea of how we can live out community. So these guys are living examples of what community should be. And so for me, I go, okay, well, I'm not particularly interested in maybe meeting with all of you every day. Nothing personal. But that's the truth. No. But these guys are meeting together with a common purpose. They're experiencing each other. They're experiencing Christ. They're doing life together. They're practically helping those around us. If I own two jumpers, which I don't, by the way, but if I did own two jumpers and I happened to be wearing them both at the same time, which would not ever happen, let me tell you, and I noticed that Tim, for some reason, showed up and didn't have a jumper and was cold, I'd give him one. I'd probably give him them both because I don't really need them. But the idea of if we have a lot that we help out those around us in our community that don't have as much, well, that's a great Christ-like principle that as a church we want to do. And that's part of our month of generosity and part of what we do with Compass Community Care. But for us as individuals, not only within the life of this community, but in all the other communities that we're a part of, that's a pretty amazing way to practically show people who Christ was and is to help out those in need, to help out those. So these guys are living life together and they're doing community together constantly and they're seeing God do his bit in there as well. It's a great ideal, I guess, to aim for. It requires us all to participate. And you're going to hear us talk about that lots over the next little while, that idea of participating or spectating. Now, so for those of you who are new or you're just coming and you're checking out the church and stuff, that's cool. We hope you have a really good experience. But for those who have been sitting here with us for a while and would call Compass home, we want you to make a decision whether you're going to come to this church and spectate, which we don't want, or actually participate. Because it's not meant to be a performance. I know we have gun musicians, and at times it may feel like we're just watching and hearing something amazing. And we have amazing communicators in the life of this church. Just, that you may go and just pay a lot of money to hear, if you had to pay. And then me. No. But the idea of coming isn't that you spectate on a Sunday, but you participate within a community. And it's not just on a Sunday, it's throughout the week as well. My family are participators. At Christmas every year, I have quite an extended family. So my dad's got five brothers and a sister, and every one of the brothers has at least three kids. And then we've all got married, my generation's all got married, and there's all kids as well. Like, when we get together at my late pa's house for Christmas, on Christmas afternoon. There's probably 40 or 50 people there generally. Everybody has to play cricket. So everybody goes into the backyard and plays cricket. And you don't have a choice. Whether you've got like a hip operation, like one of my aunties did, and you still got a bat, one hand on the bat and one hand on your stick, it doesn't matter. Everybody participates. If you're there for the first time, if one of my cousins has been brave enough to bring along a new boy or girl, it's a terrifying experience, but you have to participate. The year that I took Holly, she was living in the country, and my uncles had never met them, and my uncles and I like to have a little bit of banter, and we have a bit of fun, and they decided they were going to take that out on her. So they found out that she was from the country, so for the entire 5 hours we were together, they talked to her like this. Hi, Holly. If I'm talking too fast for you, just tell me to slow down. Like that for 5 hours. My uncles decided they were going to play this game called Danger Ball. This is all part of Holly's initiation, mind you. So, and I'm not saying we should do this as a church either, by the way. That isn't the link I'm going with for this example. So at my pa lives in at the time my pa was alive, we live in Box Hill. So all of my generation and all of the partners or wives or husbands or people you'd brought along had to lie down on his front lawn. So there's 20 of us lying down on the front lawn. My uncle stood around us with handfuls of tennis balls, and then you lay down on your stomach and you put your hands over your head. And the name of the game was Danger Ball. My uncle just made this up on the spot, by the way. I know it's surprising. And they would throw the tennis balls up as high as they could, and if it hit you, you were out. So we all just lay there because you just go with it, right? You don't fight it. And so we're all lying there. There's 20 of us lying there with our hands over our head, and they yell out, Danger Ball! And then they throw all the tennis balls up. What we didn't know is they were just going to pick on Holly. So they all went, Danger Ball! Went like that, didn't throw the tennis balls, and then all just threw them straight at her. Oh, sorry, that was just a joke. Just a joke. They did it about 5 times in a row. It doesn't make it sound very nice, does it? But trust me, it didn't hurt. But this is my family's. I've really lost you with this example, don't I? But then we all went and played cricket, and it was fun. I really don't even know why I told you that story. Just made me laugh thinking about it. The point I'm trying to make is that it's about participating. And I don't know how. That's the point, all right? I didn't have that story in my notes, all right? It just came to me at the time. But minus the danger ball, let's just rewind and pretend that if you ever want to freak Holly out, sneak up behind her, yell, danger ball, and she just... No. But my family just get everyone to participate. So when people... They've actually only ever done that to Holly, by the way. But when you bring someone along, they just get you. You get out and you play cricket and you chat and you're doing stuff. And it means people feel really involved in the family. It means people feel loved. They feel cared for. Not so much with Holly, but with everyone else. You know, but it's a real sense of participation. You almost don't have a choice whether you're going to play cricket or not. You just have to. You just get dragged out and you just become part of the family. And you always leave feeling loved, and you leave feeling welcomed, and you leave like feeling like you were a part of something really fun and good and healthy and a little bruised maybe. Holly's family is a little bit different. Holly's family, they don't throw tennis balls at you. But I would say Holly's family are spectators. And I don't say this as a criticism. I say it as an observation of being part of two families. So when we get together with Holly's family for Christmas, they just kind of sit around and they don't really even interact that much with each other. And I've got to be honest, Benny's now married into Holly's family and he'll attest to the same thing, but you don't really feel very involved. And unless you make the effort to go and do something or go and find someone to talk to, you just kind of get left sitting there. And then people just drift off and it's fine, that's how they roll, but I would say they're spectators and my family's participators. And as a church, we want to be participators. We want to be involved. That's how you build community, is you get involved. It's like with the setup team. I know we're banging on about this a lot at the moment, but it's because as a family, as a community, we have this need. And so what do? If your family has a need, will you go and help? And that's what we want to do as a church. We want to be a church of people who are participants. We want to be a community of people who participate, who get involved. Because when we do that, and when we're all buying in, and when we're all part of this community, and we're all investing into it, it's a really powerful thing. And I think largely as a church, we do a good job of that. The feedback that we get as a church when people come is that it's a great sense of community. I've had friends who have come and stayed, even though philosophically they actually strongly disagree with what we believe in, because they love the sense of community. And that's a real strength for us as a church, but it's also something that we want to really continue to work on. Is how do we do that better? Well, individually, we all just do it a little bit better. We're not waiting for someone else to do it. We're all doing it. And so I'd say to you, if you're not feeling overly connected, then we should all play cricket after church. No. But I'm saying participating develops community, spectating doesn't. So if you feel like you want to be a bit more involved in this community, if you're not feeling overly connected, then I would encourage you to get involved in an area in the life of this church. Make sure you go into a life group. Come and help out with the setup. Come and help out, you know, with the hosting. Come and help out with the music team if you're musically inclined. If you're not musically inclined, get on board the setup team. But we want to be a place. We want to be a place and a refuge for people when they come. We want to be a community that is welcoming and loving. And as individuals, we all need to do that. You know, we can't ask me to care for everyone, because that's ridiculous. But we can't ask. And like I said before, you don't want me to care for you guys. Trust me, it ends badly. But you want Paul to care for you, and you want Natty to care for you. But our leaders can't care for everybody. There's only so many of them. Phil can't care for all of you individually in every little thing that happens in your life. And that's why we encourage you to be a part of a life group. That's why we encourage you to be part of a team and little communities within our bigger community. So how do we, as a group, how do we make sure that we're not just a social gathering of people, but we're a collective group of people who are all living and growing together? Well, I think it comes down to us as individuals having real relationship with people. So I just want to share three quick thoughts with you. There are three questions that people want to know about you in regards to developing friendship with you and developing community with you. And maybe if you're someone who struggles to make connection with people, then these might be some good life things that you can take away. And then for us, as a church, there's some good questions for us to be asking ourselves. So lots of this stuff that we do already, but the challenge is, can we do it better? So the first question that people want to know about you in regards to developing a friendship and a sense of community with you is, can I trust you? So trust is really hard to get, and it's really easy to lose. I've been working through a few different things, and someone asked me, a guy who's doing some mentoring asked me, in the midst of working out strategies and different things, they just asked me the simple question, can you trust that person? Do you trust that person? And it just made me stop and think, because trust is really, really hard to earn. You know, what makes a person trustworthy? I kind of compiled a little list that they're a person of their word, they're a person of character, they're a person of integrity, they're honest, they're reliable, they're punctual, they're loyal. I basically thought trust is a golden retriever. So who can you trust? My gauge for trust is, would I trust them with my kids? That's my kind of, you know, would I leave my kids with them? Would I trust them to look after my kids? That's a really good way for me to go, would I trust them? Would I trust them with my bank account details? Would I trust them with my life? You know. What about, is there anyone that you would trust with your life? Is there anyone that you know would take a bullet for you? A bit dramatic, isn't it? The Bible repeatedly puts it out there that we should trust in God with our salvation and with our life. Isaiah 26:4 says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." Nehemiah 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust him." John 14:1-4 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me. So you will be with me always. You know the place I am going." So we need to make the effort to show that we are trustworthy. And also be smart who you put your trust in with your life and with, you know, the advice that you get and stuff. But the first question people want to know is, can they trust you? The second question is, do you care? Sometimes it takes time to find out a little bit more about a person and you realize what their true heart motivation is. Are they in it for themselves, or do they genuinely care? Are they looking to get something out of that relationship, or are they just interested in investing in you and that friendship? Phil always talks about that idea of people won't care what you know until they know that you care. So we know that actions speak louder than words. You know, the people are actually listening. So when you're talking to someone, you know if they're really listening or not. You know if they've got another 8,000 things on their mind and they're looking at, you know. Jacinda comes to the gym and trains with me, and occasionally she'll be talking and she'll catch me checking up on about 3 or 4 people over there and making sure someone's answering the phone over there. And I just get this vague glazed over look as I'm working through a checklist of things in my mind that need to be done. And she'll kind of call me on it, and it's fair enough too because I'm not really listening to her. We need to be people who actually care, who actually listen when someone's talking to us. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your cares upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." Psalm 65:9 says, "You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide for people with, to provide the people with grain." Nehemiah 1:7 says, "The Lord is good." 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your care and anxiety on him, because he cares for you. That he will never leave you. He will never forsake you." And the vision for Compass Church is that Compass Church would be known as a church who actually cares. They would care for the people that come into this place, the hurt and the broken, and the people that are struggling, that we would care for them. That in our community, we would be known as a church who actually cares. Not trying to look to see what we can get out of it, but actually as a church involved in this community that really care for the community. Care often happens in the life of our church, like I said, through life group. We always talk about life group because that's where, as a church, we work at caring for each other in those little groups. So the first thing that people are going to ask is, can I trust you? Rock solid. Two of you, great work. The second thing is, do you care? Lovely. And the third thing is, are you committed? So we had commitment on our board, which Lester very conveniently, even though he didn't know the topic I was going to talk about today, wrote it in big writing. It's a sign. Ooh. So to me, the tally is symbolic of people's view on commitment today. This is my great theology for the day. So years ago, you buy a tally back in the day. Hey? Back in the day. Not like now, back in the day. When I used to walk for 6 miles through snow just to get to school. Whose dad tells you those stories? We were so poor that we used to stick some newspaper in a sock and play footy with a sock. I don't even know if that was true for my dad, but he tells me those stories. So the tally to me is is pretty symbolic of people's view on commitment. So we used to buy a tally, and when the tally kind of went on the fritz a bit, we'd take it and get it fixed, right? And there's a whole industry of people who fixed tallies and DVD players. Oh, we didn't have DVD players. What do we have? VCRs. Wirelesses. My dad still calls it a wireless. He's still astounded that it doesn't have to be plugged in. So we used to get these stuff fixed. What do we do now? Does anyone get a tally fixed now? If you take it to someone who used to fix a tally, they won't even bother. They go, we don't fix these anymore. We just replace it. So we live in this society that's pretty big on just chucking stuff and finding something that's new. We live in a society that's not really big on working through issues and challenges and stuff. We just move on and we leave it alone. If something breaks, we'll just forget about it. We'll get a new one. And I reckon that although it's just a television, it's kind of symbolic about people's view of commitment. We need to understand that God is completely committed to you. Like, he is so committed to you. So committed that he gave up his only son. So committed that despite the fact that continually we disappoint him and sin against him, he still loves us and forgives us. He's just ultimately committed to you. And as a great example for us on how we should be with other people that we're in community with. And I'm not talking about if someone continually hurts you that you should just keep going back to that place. But I'm talking about showing a level of commitment to the communities that you're involved in, that even when it doesn't always suit you, you still participate. Shelby Hailfield writes this in regards to God being committed to us and us being committed to God. Writes, I'm no religious scholar by any means, but this is what I think. God has shown us continually through time his commitment to us. From the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve sinned and he remained committed, to Abraham and God's promises of many nations coming from him, to him sending his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to walk among us, teach us, and give up his life for us, the ultimate commitment. If Christianity was primarily about our commitment to God, it would fail miserably because of our nature. We are in general commitment phobes. We promise to commit, to do better, not to sin, and fail miserably, feel guilty, repent, and do it all over again. Thank God that he is more committed to us than the other way around. The flip side of that is, without our commitment to God and following what his plans and purpose for our lives are, no matter how many times we fail, would Christianity even exist? Without our commitment to him to go and make disciples of all nations, without our commitment to him to love one another, care for one another, humble ourselves to one another, what would be the face of Christianity? Words of history in the pages of a Bible. It's up to us to bring the Bible to life, to be the light of God here on earth to others, Christians and non-Christians alike. Christianity is a relationship with God. In order for relationships to work, there needs to be commitment on both sides. So I guess in summing up, I'd have to say it's a mix of both. What percentage of that mix is God and us? I'm not 100% sure, but it seems like God is always giving more, and for that I am thankful. So the three questions that people want to know in regards to you in developing friends and community are, can I trust you? Do you care? And are you committed? So for us to go away and think about that in our life, with our family, with the communities we're in, and then here at the life of this church. Because we want to provide a place where we can all come, enjoy being here, be challenged. We want to provide a place where God comes and moves. We want to provide a place where people can come and find refuge. I want to provide a place where we're all participating in the life of this community. And I understand that we all go through different phases in our life. And we have phases where we have time and effort and we can be heavily, heavily engaged. And then we have other times where we have lots of other things pulling on our time and we can't be quite as engaged. But we're not just talking about the time that you're here and actually doing stuff. It's not about accumulating hours. It's about a heartfelt attitude. Phil is incredibly committed to this place. And Nat, as in Phil's committed to Nat, and Nat is also committed to this place. But these guys are just, like, as someone who gets the honour and the privilege of just walking through the daily life with them over the last, forever, 15 years, I know that they are without doubt committed to this place and committed to you guys. And they're not interested in creating the mega church. That's so far from their mind. They're seriously committed to you guys as a group and as individuals, experiencing God. Committed to you guys as individuals and as a group. Phil always talks about finding your purpose in life and daring to live it out. He's passionate about seeing each and every one of you do that. He's a great example of someone who is genuinely committed to God and committed to this community. And over the next 6 months, I would just encourage you to let him know that you appreciate that, to let Nat know that you're thankful for their hard work. Because although Phil's on staff a few days a week, he does far more than that. Nat does far more than that. You know, and we get the benefits of their hard work from a spiritual point of view and a practical point of view. So I would encourage you to make sure that we love them, that we care for them, that we work at making their life easy, not look at what we can take from them. We look to build them up and encourage them at the same time as being blessed by their wisdom and love. Why don't we just take a moment? Just to quietly reflect. Lord, I just pray for us as individuals now that you would just speak to us. You would move in our hearts, move on our minds. Thank you, Lord God, that you are so committed to us. Thank you, Lord God, for filling that. Ruby and April, and right now I just commit them to you. Lord God, I thank you that you've brought them into our midst, and I just pray your blessing upon their life. Pray your blessing upon Nat and all she does, Phil, all he does, collectively what they do. Thank you, Lord God, that they are a great example for us. And I pray, Lord God, as we love them and as we care for them, you would strengthen them continually, Lord God, that they would just know always that they are, that you are right there by their side, leading and guiding them. And I thank you, Lord God, as we leave this place, we go out throughout the course of the week, Lord God, you would give us opportunity to help carry someone a little bit closer to Jesus. You would give us opportunity to choose to create community. Thank you, Lord God, that you love and care for us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Wow. Next week, guys. Oh. Oh. Okay. Phil texted in to make sure I was behaving. Hey, Lester, can you make sure Michael's not being an idiot? No, that's not what he really said. Oh, I'm just kidding. All right. For some of you that know Monica, who comes to the life of this church, her husband was killed a while ago in an accident and stuff. But they are doing a 60-minute story tonight on him and her little boy Teddy and stuff. So. Just really be praying for her. We might just do that now. But yeah, she's an amazing lady, and she's managed to get through this pretty horrendous set of circumstances with a great deal of faith and just holding tight to God. So we're just going to pray for her and for Teddy. Lord, we come to situations and circumstances like this, Lord God, and sometimes it's hard to know what to even pray, but we just really trust that your hand is upon Monica, Lord God, and upon Teddy. And Lord God, tonight as that story gets aired, I just pray that they would know that they know that you are right there beside them. I pray for peace that surpasses human understanding. I pray, Lord God, that it would be like you are just holding her in your hand, just gently and calmly and strongly, all at the same time, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord, for Teddy, that little man, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord God, you would have your hand upon him as he grows up, that he would grow up knowing you as his father, Lord God, that he would grow up, Lord, just passionately pursuing you, Lord God, and you would just seem so close to him. So we just commit them to you, Lord God. We ask you to be with them, Lord. Pray that they would know that they are loved by us and loved by you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.